chapter 4. Book of James, chapter 4. Let us listen with our hearts to the word of the Lord to us this morning. James chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. Come now, you who say, quote, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit, unquote. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let us take time to look at the text and understand the content of the text, and then let us apply it to ourselves. James is addressing people who verbally or non-verbally say this kind of thing. Well, today or tomorrow or next week, I've got plans that I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to be laying this out for my life. And he expresses it this way. Well, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city and we're going to open up a business there and we're going to spend a year there and we're going to open up a telemarketing business and we're going to open up a storefront. We're going to engage in business and make a profit. And James starts off with, come now, meaning get a hold of yourself. Get your attention on what you're saying. Take a close look at what you're saying. Come now, you who say, this is your philosophy, this is your modus operandi. Today or tomorrow, we're going to go such and such a place, we're going to do such and such a business, we're going to spend such and such amount of time there, and we're going to end up with a certain amount of profit. And James says, now get a hold of yourself when you talk like that, because, verse 14, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just, the fact of the matter is, you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if you were to speaking in terms of what is really true about your existence, if the Lord wills, if it is within His permission, if it is within the bounds of His government, if He agrees and consents that I be alive tomorrow. That's what he says. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But that as it is, you boast in your arrogance, all such boasting is evil. This has to do with presumption. This has to do with presuming you shall live for a year. You who say, well, I'm going to go to this city tomorrow, I'm going to open up a business for such and such a time, and for a year I'm going to work there and make a profit. And James says that you do not know you have tomorrow, that you will be alive tomorrow. So it's presumptuous upon your part to say, I'm going to spend the next year doing this, because you do not know that you will live the next year. The only thing that you can realistically say is, if the Lord wills, I will live another year and do such and such. If the Lord wills, I shall go to a certain city and live for a year and be able to work for a year and enter into business and make a profit. James is talking about the subject of time, the subject of presuming that we have it, the subject of presuming that we control it, the subject of presuming that we can control how long we live. He's addressing these subjects, the presumption, the arrogance of presuming that you can control how long you live, you can control your future, you can control what shall come to pass in the future. And he is saying, your life is a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away. And we read words to that effect in the psalm. Our life is transient. It's like a flower that blossoms and then fades away. The reality of our lives is we are transitory, we are like a vapor, we appear for a while, we are gone. We didn't control when we came into this world. We cannot control when we go out of this world. We cannot forestall it 1 minute. We do not have the ability to forestall our death. Gene Autry just died, 91 years old. But it's a vapor in comparison to how long people have lived. But you look at the obituary pages and you see people dying 33, dying of cancer. 19, heart arrest. Flojo, 38 years old, one of the greatest runners in the Olympics, and still held the medal in several items that hasn't been beat. 38 years old, her heart arrested in some fashion, and she died. We cannot know. We do not know. We cannot sustain ourselves. We cannot guarantee we can keep ourselves alive. It's presumption to act so. It's presumption to think so. It's presumption to define so. It's presumption to state so. That you are going to do something over the next year as though, and to state it as though, you can guarantee that a year from now, you'll still be alive. This is James's point. You cannot say you're still going to be alive, that you are going to live for a year. You cannot say that. We do not have the ability to have that control. One of the things that is at issue of taking one day in seven and having it as a day of rest, as the Lord said to do, is that we can control a lot of things, but we can't control time. We cannot take and create another day in which to rest after working 6 days and then working a seventh day. We cannot create time. It's beyond our reach. Now, I'm going to attempt, by God's help, to look at this subject in a particular perspective. Have you ever seen a child, a family walking, and mom or dad are walking, and the child is walking about 5, 6, 7 feet behind? They walk down the street. You ever see that? You ever ask yourself, that's peculiar, right? Why doesn't the child walk with the parents? Now, if you take time to observe, the child is walking as fast as the parents. He's not behind because he's walking slower than the parents. Because if he was, he would be getting further and further and further and further behind. But no, he's keeping right up with them. You ever think about that? Why he doesn't walk with his parents? I've seen some men walk along the street and their wife is about 3 steps behind them. And they walk, they're going from the grocery store and they're walking all the way down Collins Street. As far as you can see, she's walking just as fast as he is, but not with him. I have a tenant who pays me late every month. He pays me almost exactly on the same date every month, but he pays me late. And I asked him last month, I says, you really have to correct this? I says, look, I say, you pay me 30 days apart each time, but you're just always the same day late. But he's always consistently paying me every 30 days, like he should. If you know, he just move it back to the first, and then the first of each month, and he'd be right on. But every month he pays me late, and but he's not, you know, it's exactly 30 days later, almost every to the day. Do you know what that's called? Called procrastinating. Child's procrastinating. He's walking just as fast, but he's just walking behind. Man's paying me late. He's paying me in every 30 days, but he's just paying me late. He's procrastinating. Procrastination is often pictured as a time matter. People say they procrastinate. They just didn't have the time. But it's not a time matter. That's a justification for being late. It's not a time matter. Procrastination is not an issue of time. To the procrastinator, it often seems that way, and it's often offered as the excuse for not doing things as they should be done, when they should be done, but it's not an issue of time. Procrastination. Let us see what we can learn about this. Many people intend to get converted at the 11 o'clock hour, but they die at 10:30. They design to procrastinate and put it off until just before the due time. Because by their design, they are presuming that they can control the hours of their days and the length of their days and the length of the years of living so that at the 11 o'clock hour, as they assume it's going to be, they will make the decision to make the things right with God and themselves. They presume, as James is talking about, that they'll have another year before they have to make a decision. That they'll have another 10 years before they really have to get things right with God. The procrastinator presumes he has or she has control of time and has enough time to do the things they ought to be doing now sometime in the future. It is the presumption that they can guarantee that they'll be alive in the future, therefore they can put off the day and do it in the future. Procrastination is presumptuous. It is to presume that one is in control of how long they can live. You ever watch a child being trained? Tell a child to do something, they don't do it. tell them again, they don't do it. So you tell them on the count of three, if you don't do it, one, two, three, and then the child does it. You've been trained to procrastinate. Some of you may have been trained from very early time to procrastinate. That it's okay to wait until it gets to a crisis point before you do what you should do. And we've been trained to believe that that is acceptable. So that you only move under crisis events. Only when the boss gives you enough threats that you might really be in danger of losing your job do you pick up the slack and really produce. Only when it seems you might be really in danger of God's judgment do you really consider loving God only as a measure of avoiding penalty, not for its own sake, not because that's what you should do. You should be loving God whether there's a penalty or not a penalty for not loving Him. And you bounce from crises to crises to get you to get do something because you're putting things off and procrastinating doing it. Procrastination is often an issue of control. Procrastination is often an issue of control. To demonstrate to oneself that they're completely in control of their life, and to prove it, they'll put off what they must do until the last moment or the last few moments, and they are in such control that they can get things done right at the last moment, just before the deadline, and therefore demonstrate to themselves that they're still in control. Reaffirm that they're still in control. Assure themselves that they've still got it together. They've still got the touch. It can be an issue of control to where anyone in authority over them, parents, pastor, employer, government. Procrastination is a means by which they can demonstrate to themselves and others, now, you tell me I must do this, but I'll show you who's in control. You tell me you need this by Monday, you're going to get it Wednesday, because I'm going to show you who's really boss over me, and it's me, and it's not you. It's a way of, in your face, you'll get it, but you'll get it on my terms, in my time, by my choice, because I'm in control, not you. Children do that. Older children in their 20s and 30s and 40s do that. Don't children do that? You tell them and train them to say hello to adults when you're with them, and they won't say hello. And you tell them to say hello, and they turn around and go, hello, as they walk away. On their time schedule. When they choose to. And they're using it as a mechanism to show you who's really in control. They are. Not you. Employers have to cope with that. People who continually procrastinate in their responsibilities of employment to show you who's in control. And that it's not the employer, but that employee. It doesn't matter how many people get messed up in their timetables and their time frames and their schedules. It doesn't matter if the whole company gets slowed down. They can show that they're in control. See, it's not a matter of time. Most of the time in procrastination. Not a matter of, I just didn't have the time. There are other issues going on in procrastination. Issues of defiance. Issues of control. It's a safety valve. It's a way of never having to really deal with one's responsibilities. It is a way of never having to see that one is really not capable of doing it as it should be done in the time that it should be done. One doesn't put themselves in the position to really tackle it when it should be done and do it when it should be done, lest they discover that they really can't do it as it should be done. So under the fear that they'll be discovered to themselves or others that they're incapable of doing the job as it should be done, they develop the mechanism of putting it off to the last minute, throw it together, and turn it in, and everybody's just going to have to live with it. But they won't have to face whether or not it is really up to what it should be. They won't have to tackle it to start with, look at it while there's still enough time to redo it, and look at it and go, no, I need to redo that. They won't put themselves in that position to see their own flaws, their own deficiencies, where they need to correct themselves, where they need to improve. And thus they fool themselves in thinking that as they get to the end and then they throw it together, that that's the best they can do, because they have this problem called procrastination, which just sort of creeps up on them, and they don't know if it comes out of the air or out of the water. Or it's like procrastination is kind of like a virus in the way it's used. Well, I just didn't have the time, and that's not true. Nobody ever has the time. Time is something you make. It's not something you have. You make time. Everyone is here this morning because you made time to get here. It's not that you just had time and you thought, what shall I do with this time? Well, I think I'll go to church. You made time. You decided. You set aside time. You used the time in this fashion. You made time to be here. Another issue with procrastinators is that they just can't tell people no. They should tell people no because they do not and cannot find and cannot make the time to do what they're asked to do, but they just can't tell people no. They fear that if they tell them no, that they'll be criticized, that they'll be rejected, so they tell them yes, and they get all of these projects, all of these requests backed up, bottlenecked, like on a freeway, because they really do not have the ability to do all the things they commit themselves to do. They will not tell anybody no. And so things keep getting put off because, in fact, they are not capable of doing everything they commit themselves to. They overcommit. Procrastination presumes an imaginary future created in the person's mind of how things are going to work out. There's going to be more time in the future than they have now. There's going to be more hours in the day, more days in the week. In the procrastinator's mind, time is something that can be expanded beyond its boundaries. That in the future in their life has the ability to expand time and therefore do things that they presently are not willing to do. But since it should take an hour a day for these next 5 days to do it, that's 5 hours. They put it off until Sunday morning, 2 hours before it's due, and think that they can expand the 2 hours into five to do it adequately. There's this view that time can be elastic and be stretched out sometime in the future, even though they can't do it right now. In the procrastinator, there's a number of distortions of realities, presumptions about realities, presumptions about the future, presumptions about their ability to control how long they live, many presumptions that James says, look, you who say you control the future, this is how you're going to live tomorrow, and this is exactly how it's going to turn out, and that's how long you're going to do it, you're presumptuous, you're arrogant. Because you cannot guarantee you will live tomorrow. The word procrastinate comes from two words. Pro meaning forward, and crassinus or something in Latin meaning the morrow. It means to put forward until tomorrow. Procrastinate means to put it off till tomorrow what you should do today. I used to think it was clever when I heard somebody say, don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today, because if you like it today, you can do it again tomorrow. It's a way of trying to get people to stop procrastinating. Do you have a procrastination problem? You need to ask yourself this question, because James is addressing this issue, and it is our responsibility to examine ourselves and say, do I have this kind of thinking? Do I have these kinds of presumptions within me? Do I think and believe in these terms about my life and my future? Or do I take into account the reality of my life, and that is it is just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And it appears at the actions of other people and it disappears under God's providential laws and government, and I did not bring myself into existence and I cannot continue myself in my existence, and that's the reality of our lives. We should, in fact, be saying, if the Lord wills, if God permits, if under His providential care I am permitted to live tomorrow, I will live and act this way. I will construct my life in a particular way. All based upon the reality that it is if God permits, if God wills, that I live. Do you have presumptions that you will live tomorrow? Do you assume that you will live tomorrow? Is your calendar filled with things that you are certain you are going to do, and you act as though you guarantee that you will do it? Or do you have an attitude of heart that says, if the Lord wills, however you may say it, but it's subject to the will of God and the permission of God that you be alive, and it is in His hands according to the laws that He has set in effect and His will. Procrastination to the procrastinator seems perfectly justified. The rationalization that goes on is just incredible. That things done late, things put off and not done, have the rationales behind them that to the procrastinator should be accepted. At least they're offered as assumed that they should be accepted. Yet if that same procrastinator should have an employer that comes in and says, well, I know today is payday, but I didn't get around to writing the checks last night, so maybe next Monday, if I find the time. That procrastinator would not appreciate that, nor would they find that to be an acceptable excuse. It might be the reason why they weren't written, but it's not an acceptable reason. It might be the reason why something isn't done to the last minute, but it's not an acceptable reason. Now, procrastination is not having to wait patiently until you can do what the will of God is. That's not procrastination. Having to wait patiently when obstacles stand in the way of doing the will of God. Having to wait patiently upon others to keep their word. Having to wait patiently upon the Lord to give you an answer to something. That's not procrastination. Oftentimes we are called upon to wait upon the Lord, to seek His face, to wait for His answer. That's not procrastination. When other people do not come through with their promises of obligation and we are unable to do that's something that's dependent upon them, that's not procrastination. Procrastination is when we have a duty to perform, an obligation to meet, and we choose not to fulfill it as it should be done, when it should be done. Procrastination is basically choosing to spend your time doing what you want to do rather than what you ought to do. Procrastination is basically the practice of doing what you want to do with your time rather than doing what you ought to do with your time. So you fill your days and your hours with what you want to do, which means you do not make time for what you ought to do, and what you ought to do is put off and put off and put off. That's procrastination. Doing what you want to do with your time instead of doing what you ought to do. That's procrastination. That's delay. That's postponement. Now, some of the errors in that are the following. The obligations and duties we have towards God is to love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. The obligations and duties we have to others is to love our neighbor as ourselves. Those are absolutes. Those are not options. Those are not subject to Congress rewriting them in such a way that it suits anybody or everybody. Congress can't touch those laws. They are God's laws. And so we must, as our duty, as our obligation, our responsibility to God, love Him with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. There is no excuse to not do that. But that is an obligation that's upon us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Every hour of this day, I am to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself. Every hour of this day, you are to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So, if you take an hour today and procrastinate in doing that, to put it off for the future, where are you going to find an extra hour in the future to slip it in and do it then? Name me an hour in the future that you can pick and say, in that hour, I will do what I'm supposed to be doing in this hour. Somebody, you can think of an hour in the future that is available to do what you're supposed to be doing in every hour of this day. See, there's no room for procrastination. You can only justify procrastination if you think in terms of performance. If you say to yourself, God requires me to perform this deed, then you can say, I'll put off that performance of that deed till a future time. But that's not the law of God, and our responsibility to Him. Our responsibility to Him is not a list of deeds to do, but a heart that we are to have in relationship to God. I am every hour of the day to be engaged in loving God with all my heart and loving my neighbor as myself. And not some particular thing of performance that I can postpone to some other time, then do it and say, ah, I did my Sunday obligation on Friday. See, the fault of that is thinking that what God requires of us is a particular performance of a deed, and not a constant, abiding love of God and love to my neighbor that expresses itself in various deeds of benevolence towards others. But what is required of us is that we continue to be loving God in all that we do throughout the day. So that as you have relationships here, as you have relationships at home, you have relationships with your employer, all of those relationships, all those times, you're to be loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with all your heart. So there's no chunk of time that you can be fulfilling that responsibility and at the same time be doing simply what you want and wasting it upon yourself. So there has to be a serious error in thinking that you can postpone responsibilities to some other time under the law of God. Because you do not have, under the law of God, the liberty to spend your time today on yourself merely doing what you want to do and neglecting your love for God and your love for your neighbor. It's just not in the cards. So there has to be some kind of error in thinking that if you postpone a duty today, put it off to the future, that somehow the time in the future is free time. That if you were going to make a meal for a homeless person and take it to him today, and then you say to yourself, well, I really want to watch that football game. I'm going to watch the football game. And I'll make a homeless meal for that guy tomorrow night. Well, the fault of that is tomorrow night, the time that you're going to slip it to tomorrow night, that time God gives you to do something then for your neighbor. So how are you going to do what you should do tomorrow night for your neighbor, for God, if you're going to put off from today something till tomorrow? See, the time isn't elastic. You can't create more time. You can't put it to the future and say, I'm going to expand time and get everything done that I put off. The future has its own requirements. If God wills that you should live into the future, it'll have its own responsibilities towards God and your neighbor as you have today. I do not have the luxury of taking what I owe God and my neighbor today and paying it in the future. Because when I get to the future, I will have the same obligation to be using the time I have then the way I have the obligation today. Let's try to bring this down to real concrete terms. Let's say I owe God $1 an hour. Well, today I would owe him $24. But I have to pay it every hour. So every hour I give him $1. If I don't give him $1 and spend it on myself, I only owe him $1. So I'll pay that dollar tomorrow night. No, you owe him $1 that tomorrow night already. And you can't double up on it. Procrastination is a very elusive, seductive, self-justifying behavior that is self-defeating. It's unrealistic because it presumes on the future. It presumes that you control the future. It presumes that you can control your life. It's presumptuous. And that's what James says. You boast in your arrogance, in your presumption. Procrastinators are people who boast in their presumption that they do have tomorrow to make up for today. That's a presumption. And many procrastinators laugh about it. They put off something to the very last minute, and they did a really good job on it, and they laugh about it. And they're laughing about their presumption. They're boasting in their presumption, as James would say. Now catch this. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, you who procrastinate, we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know. James says, you do not know. You do not have knowledge what your life will be like tomorrow. You do not know. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You have no knowledge of the future, is what James is saying, is he not? You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You do not know the future about yourself. Is he not saying that? Clear? Am I stretching it? Real plain, okay? You do not know what your life will be tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. You don't know how your vapor is going to go tomorrow. It said you have to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Let me show you this very next point. Verse 14 and then 17. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. 17. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, which can only be now. Since no one knows what your life will be like tomorrow, therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, that must mean now. Since you don't know your life tomorrow, therefore, the one who knows the right thing to do, he's talking in the present tense. Right now you know what your life is about and what you ought to do. Tomorrow you don't know now what you're going to be in tomorrow. So he who knows now the right thing to do now and does not do it now, to him it is sin. James is talking in terms of not only knowledge, but time frame. Not only in some kind of principle of he who knows the right thing to do it and does not do it, to him it is sin in some kind of philosophical sense, but it's in a context of time frame and time reference. Since you do not know what your life will be tomorrow, he who knows the right thing to do today and does not do it today, but presumes to do it tomorrow, which he does not know if he'll have, to him it is sin. Is that clear? Is that true? Is that just plainly what he's saying? That's what he's saying. He has when in here as much as what. And not only what you know is the right thing to do, but when you know it. If right now you know what is the right thing to do, you are to do it right now. And if we can rearrange this verse and still keep its truth, he could say, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do, and that's now, and does do it now, to him it is not sin. Because he is doing now what he knows now is the right thing to do now. And that is where we are to live our lives. Now. Because that's the only life to live that we have. It is now. We don't have tomorrow that we can bet on. We cannot put off the right thing to do that we know that we should do tomorrow, because we don't know tomorrow, James said. The Spirit of God is trying to, through James, tell us, you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You do not even know if you will have life tomorrow. And if you know now the right thing to do and presume to put it off till tomorrow, to you it is sin. Because you do not know that you can do it tomorrow. And to think that you can is to presume, because you really cannot know if God wills that you shall live tomorrow. You really cannot know that. You may make a strong probability argument or presumption argument, but as you really don't know that when tomorrow falls, you will be alive and capable of doing the will of God. And when tomorrow comes, what you know is the right thing to do tomorrow is what you're to do tomorrow. And not to be carried over from the day before. And it may be that tomorrow, the right thing to do tomorrow may be the very thing that's the right thing to do for you to do today. But you've got to do it today, what you know today is the right thing to do. Because you don't know if you'll have tomorrow. That is the argument that James is making. It's clear. It's straight. It's point blank. Now that you who would have in your heart ponderings over wisdom and choices to make, let me see if we can apply this. You who know today the right thing to do, do not ask for guidance tomorrow about how to handle that if today you know what is the right thing to do. Because if today you know what is the right thing to do and you do not do it, that is sin. If you will not do today what is the right thing to do, then you would be sinning against God and would be saying essentially, God, if tomorrow you would show me the right thing to do, show me, but don't count on me doing it because I showed you today that I won't do today what's the right thing to do today. So to ask for guidance, you must know that the Lord sees your heart that you're not willing to do today what you know is the right thing to do. So don't presume that He'll, by knowing that about your heart, will give you knowledge tomorrow about what you ought to do if you don't demonstrate that you will do today what is the right thing that you know you should do. Jesus said that if you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you ruler over many things. If you know today something is the right thing for you to do, and you're going to procrastinate in your mind and say, I'll do it tomorrow, that is sin, and that is a willingness upon your part to virtually say to God when you pray, Lord, show me how you would have me go, but don't count on me walking in it. Because the small thing that I do understand today, I'm not willing to do. So you can just pretty much count on me. If you show me more tomorrow, I won't do that either. And so we mock God if we pray for direction and do not do today that which is the right thing to do today that we know. Is procrastination a problem? Just look at April 15th. About 11 o'clock at night at the post office. More importantly, is procrastination an issue in your life? Do you have hanging responsibilities that should have been done yesterday? And the day before? And the day before? And they're still undone. And James says, that's sin. And if you have said to yourself that you've put them off for a more opportune time, a better time, you've let slide what you know you should do and the right thing to do, and you've let it slide to a future that you have no guarantee you would have had. That's presumption. And James says that's arrogance. That's pride. To presume that you can really guarantee your future. James says we cannot. Procrastination is a deep issue that can involve different matters in different people. To some, it is a way of resisting control by other people because they've been controlled all their life by parents and others. This is the way of keeping others from controlling them. It's a way of exercising control over other people. It's a way of being defiant. It's a way of being negligent. It is a way of postponing responsibility to some future time which really doesn't exist in certainty. It is to be presumptuous. God calls upon us this morning through this illumination of His Word to correct our views and to correct our approach to life. To stop with an arrogance of presuming we do have tomorrow and speak and act and have a heart that believes that. I really do have. I have a year. And then at the end of that year, certain things will happen. No. What we are... One last time. If today, now, you know the right thing to do, and now you do not do it, to you it is sin. To me it is sin. Now, run that by your thinking, run that by the way you plan your life, run that by the way you structure your life, and make the necessary changes and reconstructions of your life to bring it into the reality of the fact that you do not control your life, and you cannot control tomorrow. And what you ought to do today that is right to do, do it today. Otherwise it is sin. And that is a sufficient reason that the Spirit of God would be grieved from your life, that you do not have the influence of the Spirit of God in your life to be directing your path, because He will direct you in the path of righteousness that day. And if you're not willing to do that day what is the right thing to do that day, to you it is sin, and you're telling the Holy Spirit, please guide me, but don't expect me to follow. Life is not, the Christian life is not a big, glamorous life with bells and whistles. The Christian life is the most down-to-earth, daily, practical life. It can be practiced by the most poverty-stricken people and the most affluent people. It can be practiced. It's not practiced by, it cannot be practiced by the dishonest, etc., etc. This is a very practical word for us this morning, church. It's a word that says this is how you're to do your life, this is how you're to order your life, this is how you're to think about your life, and you're not to put anything off for tomorrow that you know today is the right thing to do. He is saying, this is the day to make decisions, to do what you know is the right thing to do, and to carry them out. Because you have no guarantee of any of it. I knelt to pray, but not for long. I had too much to do. I had to hurry and get to work, for bills would soon be due. So I knelt and said a hurried prayer, and jumped up off my knees. My Christian duty was now done, my soul could rest at ease. All day long I had no time to spread a word of cheer, no time to speak of Christ to friends, they'd laugh at me, I'd fear. No time, no time, too much to do, that was my constant cry. No time to give to souls in need, but at last the time to die. I went before the Lord, I came, I stood with downcast eyes. For in His hands God held a book, it was the book of life. God looked into His book and said, your name I cannot find. I once was going to write it down, but never found the time. Let's pray together, church.